November 12th, year 2000. Jim brought a message. To be spiritually minded. Part one, from carnal to spiritual. We're going to go over what Jim's message was 19 years ago. Church, from the time I came to know Jesus Christ to this present day, I have found in this Christian walk that I am not alone when it comes to longing to know how to lead a better life. We find in God's Word promises of perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, of faith that overcomes the world, 1 John 5:4, of joy that is unspeakable, 1 Peter 1:8, and a life of ever-abiding communion with Christ, John 15:4. But sadly, thousands say they do not know how to obtain it. Amen? You and I have a great deal in common. Listen, for example, I can positively guarantee that we have been to the same school. The school I'm referring to is the school of performance. You know, from the beginning, we are taught that we must perform properly in order to get what we want. There's always a direct correlation exists between how hard we work and how much we are rewarded. Amen? Now see if you can relate to any of these. Be good and you'll get a cookie. Clean your room and you'll get your allowance. Practice hard and you'll make the varsity team. Lose weight and you'll get more dates. Study in college and you'll get a better job. Make more money and you'll be happier. And on it goes. The tragedy of this world's philosophy is that we become so conditioned by it that we carry it over into our Christian experience. The grace of God that saves us loses its meaning as we are bombarded with the pressure to perform. This pressure often comes in packages in Christian verbiage, such as, God helps those who help themselves. Sounds good. Only problem, it's not biblical. There is one and only one place where you and I can stop performing in the unconditional love and acceptance of Jesus Christ. The same grace that saved us is what sustains us, teaches us how to live here and now without performing. Let's go to some scriptures. Go to 1 Peter 2, 1 to 10. Dan, could you read that for me? 1 Peter 2, 1 to 10.
Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming
we turn to Hebrews 5:7-14. I'll read that, and Joe, if you'd be looking up Luke 24:44-49, I'll read it next. Hebrews 5:7-14. Surely the son of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, hath commanded to take tithes and people according to the law, that is, from their brothers, though they come from the seed of Abraham. But this man who descended is not numbered among them. Receive tithes from Abraham, and bless him who hath the promises. Without question, the inferior is blessed by the superior. In one of the cases, mortal men receive tithes, but in the other, he whom it is witnessed that he is alive receives them. One might say that Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he is still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met Abraham. If perfection were obtained through the Levitical priesthood, for through it people received the law, what further need was there if another priest should rise in the order of Melchizedek, rather established in the order of Aaron? For a change in the priesthood necessitates a change in the law. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, from which no man served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord descended from Judah, a tribe concerning which Moses said nothing about priests. Joe, could you read Luke 24:44-49? 44 to 49.
And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. They opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high.
Lord. Amen. Power from on high, which we can all receive now. All right, now church, in today's message, for which Jim entitled it, From the Carnal to the Spiritual, and the following messages of this series, which he entitled To Be Spiritually Minded, I hope to explore the possibilities of a Christian life as God has revealed them in his word. The hindrances that keep the majority of believers out of that life, and the steps by which we may come and take possession of it. I want to begin this morning by first investigating the two stages of the Christian life. The lower stage under the power of the flesh, and the stage of the true life in the power of the Spirit. One here is titled, Not Spiritual but Carnal. Please turn to our text, which is in 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. It says, brothers, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to worldly, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with the milk and not with the solid food. For to this day you were not able to endure it, nor are you able to now, for you are still worldly. Since there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not worldly and behaving as mere men? For why one says, I, Paul, and the other, I am Apollos, are you not worldly? In this passage, you have two categories of Christians. Some are spiritual, some are carnal. Paul said it was of utmost importance when he taught people to find out which of the two you were. For if he gave spiritual food to the carnal, it would not do them any good. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. You are in Christ, you are real Christians, but unfortunately, you are feeble Christians, just like infants. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Now, some truths are just like milk, suitable for carnal Christians. Other truths of God's Word, deep spiritual truths, or for spiritual people. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. Notice, people, that the word carnal appears here. Paul said plainly, I want you to know that you are carnal, you are believers, but you are also carnal believers, and here is the proof. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? That's what Jim's getting at here is, you know, if you're still picking out somebody and say, well, that's Scotty, but he's just not doing quite what he's supposed to be doing. Then that just dropped me to saying that I'm now carnal. I'm not Christian because I'm not loving Scotty as in the love of Christ. I think that's what Jim was getting at here when he wrote this. Amen. We can't be bitter and bickering with people and saying, this here, you can't be doing that, can't be doing that. You're not doing it right. I am. That makes you carnal just saying you are, because you need the Lord's help to do that. So anyway, that's, as long as we have that envying and strife and division, we are all carnal and walk like men. He asked Corinthians to answer that question. The word carnal comes from a Latin word meaning flesh. If you do not do the works of the, or if you do the works of the flesh, this proves that you are carnal. That you walk as men, not as children of God, who lead a heavenly life. For why one saith I am Paul, the other saith I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? For the fourth time you have the word carnal, and for the second time, very pointed question for them to answer. Tell me, are you not carnal? Now in this third chapter of Corinthians, very obvious that there are two points. First, what is meant to be carnal instead of spiritual? Second, the way from carnality to spirituality. Amen. You are not spiritual, you are carnal, the apostle said. Ask yourself the question, Am I carnal or am I spiritual by the grace of God? There's that little word, grace. That's the thing that helps us get to that spirituality, because we can't do it by ourselves. You know, church, a doctor cannot do you any good unless he first thoroughly diagnoses the case. He asks a number of questions, examines your lungs and heart, finds out what is wrong, and prescribes the proper medication. Likewise, until you find out what is wrong in your spiritual life, all the preaching of the most heavenly truths will do you no good. You must be brought to the realization your carnal state before the knowledge of the spiritual life can be of any real benefit. Amen?
Amen.
I pray that God will unveil to us the mystery of the divine truth, the mystery of our own hearts, of the carnal state, the mystery of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual life. May He give us grace to say, Lord, search me. And if I am carnal, reveal it to me today and open up to me the way into the spiritual life to live like a spiritual man. If we look carefully at our text, we will find four principal marks of carnal state. First is that it is a state of protracted or prolonged infancy. Second, it is a state of sin and failure. The third mark of a carnal state is not the lack of a spiritual gifts, but the lack of graces of the holy life. And fourthly, the carnal state brings an incapacity for receiving the spiritual truth. Church, we see here first the carnal state, the state of prolonged infancy. Illustration. If I were to show you a beautiful little child, 6 months old, with its chubby hands and feet, you'd say, oh, what a perfect child. But if in 3 years' time that child had not grown an inch, you would conclude that something was wrong. If after 6 years we again found no growth, you would immediately say that child has some terrible disease that prevents its growth. For where there is health, there is growth. Amen?
Amen.
What does that mean? That means that we're not just supposed to stay the same. We can still have the Lord, and we can have His grace, and we can have His saving, be saved, but we aren't growing. Something wrong with us. That's right. So Paul said the same thing to the Corinthians. You're babies in Christ. At first, a Christian may be carnal, for he is young and does not know what sin is. However, listen, when a person has become a Christian for some time, say 6 months, a year, 3 years, or even 10 years, and they do not grow but remain at the same place where they started as a babe, there is something wrong. And there is some terrible disease. That disease is the carnal mind. A Christian under the power of flesh is in a state of prolonged infancy. In the epistle of Hebrews 5:12, it says that after they had been Christians for so long, they should have been teachers, helping others. Yet they still had to be fed with milk, not able to take the meat of the full-grown man. This is the state of protracted infancy. And it is a state of the greater part of the Christian church. Terry's kind of saying that all the churches, they weren't growing after God saved. And come on, guys, let's get it together. That's what his letter was. Many will testify that the best time of their Christian lives was the first 3 months after conversion. After that, they began to go back. They lost their joy, and sadly, they had never had such joy since then. They have lost their first love. Revelation 2:4, that at that time they used to conquer sin, but now sin has mastered them. It's going back to when you first start and you have that joy of you just got set free from prison. Now you need to continue on, teach other people the true ways. What are the marks of a baby? One is that the baby cannot help himself. He has to be helped by others. The other is that he cannot help anyone else. A little baby always needs to be helped and cared for. That is how it is with many Christians. They go to church, to prayer meetings, and are ever seeking help from others. A Christian who cannot really help others by his spiritual experience is like a little infant, 6 months old, who cannot help another. Dear people of God, let us test ourselves with this first mark of carnal state. And if there is no healthy growth, let us bow before the Lord in repentance. The second thing, church, is that the carnal state is a state of sin and failure. It holds no victory over sin. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "There is among you envying, strife, and division. Such are the words of the flesh, and their quarreling was the reason that he had to write the 13th chapter to them. One exalted Paul, other thought Apollos was more eloquent. And the other thought that Peter was older and better than either of them. They were divided into religious parties. They were just squabbling among themselves and had strife and division and envy." Turn to Galatians 5:19-25. "Now the words of the flesh are revealed, which are these: adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, decisions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I previously warned you, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Okay, so looks like the love, you know, which the Lord said a long time ago, I'm adding this in, this isn't in James, but love was the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Second is love everyone else as you love yourself. So you got to love people. Now, if you love somebody, you really care for them. Like, I love Norm, so if he does something, that's all right, Norm. I love you anyway. It doesn't matter what you do. You're loved. So love wipes all that other stuff away. You don't have anything else. You just say, "Is there anything I can do to help? Can I help you out here, Scotty? Can I do something else?" You know, you want to love people. So the love covers all that stuff. You see somebody doing something that isn't quite right, you don't get mad and say, oh man, you guys are, hey, did you see what they did? Man, that wasn't right. No, you go to them and say, hey, you got a little problem here. Can I help you? Can I help you do something there? And in love, you can help them through things. You don't want that squabbling. Any of you, when your kids come to the table, pretty soon they're starting, sitting there, fighting at each other. Hey, you did that, you did that, leave me alone. Pretty soon, the mom or dad, all right, that's enough. You go over there, that side, you go over there. We're not going to have that bickering in the dinner table or whatever. All right, many Christians, sorry, I'm throwing in a little extra here that Jim didn't have. Many Christians have a good measure of grace of God, yet they have never really conquered their tempers. And so when the other says a sharp word to them, they give a sharp reply. How many Christians have never learned to love God, or to love as God wants them to love? To love the unlovable. What does this mean except that they are still in a carnal state? The flesh has more power in them than the spirit has. Until we confess with shame, I am carnal, we will not have the life of the spiritual man. May God search us and reveal to us the true state. You ask, what is it that hinders the brightness of my life? You will get an answer from God. Two powers are striving for mastery over you, the spirit and the flesh. And if the spirit is not ruling you, it is because the flesh is ruling. This is why men give way to pride, self-conceit, worldliness, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that he is still in the carnal state. 1 John 2:16 tells us, for everything in the world, the craving of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world.
True.
It is true. Things typically get their names from their most prominent characteristics. Spiritual man gets his name from the fact that spirit rules his life. Even though there may still be some evidence of the flesh, you cannot be in communion with him without feeling that the Spirit is leading, guiding, and controlling. A man is called spiritual when spirituality is his chief characteristic. Doesn't mean he's going to be perfect, but that his mainstay is that he's looking to be spiritual and to love the Lord. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? There was some evidence of the Spirit in them, but they had allowed the flesh to rule. The question comes to us as a voice from heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:3, are you carnal? Worldliness, unfaithfulness, and neglect of God's word are but the mark of one thing. You are carnal, and you have not given yourself over wholly to live the spiritual life. Now, the third point that I want to bring out is that spiritual gifts may still be found in a person in carnal state. This is a very seldom solemn thought, for you would think that a carnal person lacks all spiritual gifts, but in actuality they lack spiritual graces. This is the illustration in the case of the Corinthians. In the first chapter, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1:4-5, I thank God that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Can it be that a man who is, or can it be that a man who is powerful man in the service of God is also carnal? It can be. That is what I want to make clear. A man may claim baptism of the Holy Spirit. He may have been baptized in the Spirit and power and Spirit of zeal, and yet that man could be terribly lacking in the graces of holy life, in humility, gentleness, tenderness before God and man. Here it said, Jim had a note that the sharer's pastor's drinking problem, which through his book, if you ever read that, he had them. I'll share that this definitely makes me carnal in some things, because I can be doing things ready or right, and I can maybe even be studying for the sermon. And then as I'm working there and working on a pickup and I smash my finger, as Sharon will tell you, I usually don't praise the Lord. I usually have some cuss words or something that blurt out instead. And she usually comes to the balcony and hollers down, "What seems to be the problem with you? Did I hear you something? Or did you cut your foot off or what?" And kind of tries to help bring me back. That's what's nice about having somebody help you a little bit. Let you know that you're there. Those are things that I do that which I'm really trying to get past, and we're striving for it. And that's what all we can do. But look at the Corinthians. They had spiritual gifts of prophecy, tongues, and more. Yet listen. Yet Paul said they were unwilling to be subject to one another. And there was a strife as to who should speak first. Please, church, keep in mind that the carnal state is not reserved exclusively for those in whom there is no good. A man may be a preacher, evangelist, or a Sunday school teacher, and yet God may say to that man, "Are you not carnal?" Yet in the end, does their work not produce the same results as it would if he were spiritual? No. He may help another Christian life, but the Christian life he helps him to is so disordered that it is feeble and does not stand. The man whose inner life is under the rule of the Spirit, who is himself spiritual, will lead others to truly spiritual life. He will impart a life of God in power. Being able to exercise spiritual gifts does not necessarily prove that we are not carnal. In other words, so if I come to Joe and he's just out, average Joe on the street, so to speak, and I say, "Okay, this is what you need to do. You're having trouble there. You need to come to Christ and forgive all your sins. Have a good day," and I take off and leave. That didn't be very helpful at all, did it? You need to stay there with him through that day, the next week, the next month, the next year. Anytime you have trouble or you see he's having trouble, this is where we need to go with it. You help lead a person all the way in there. If you're having trouble there, that's all right. You can have trouble, but let's get back to what the Lord wants to do. Do everything in love. You love everybody as you love yourself. Then pretty soon, nobody has a problem with anybody else. If everybody in this church loved everybody as they loved themselves, we wouldn't have no bickering or anything else. It'd just be, "Sure, you're doing great. Is there anything I can do to help you?" Stay with them. Right, for conclusion, church, here in closing, I want to share the fourth and last point, is unable to receive spiritual truth. The carnal state brings an incapacity for receiving spiritual truth. Just note how distinctly Paul said in this writing to the Corinthians. In the first and second chapters, he had been writing about himself, that Christ sent him to preach the cross, not with human wisdom, but in the power of the Spirit. Then in the third chapter, he wrote about the church, saying, I have received a mystery of God, but I cannot tell you. Why not? Why couldn't he tell you? Were the Corinthians stupid? No. They diligently sought wisdom, and they prided themselves in their knowledge. They were a culture, thoughtful people, as there in 1 Corinthians 1:5, enriched in all knowledge. The wisdom of the world was beautiful in their eyes, and yet Paul said, all your wisdom will not help you. If I were to speak spiritual truths, you would take it into a carnal mind and intellect, and it would be an injury to you. Terrible mistake is often made at this point. Before he could write to the Corinthians, Paul had to determine if they were carnal people. He thought, I must let them know that they are carnal and bring them to the point of realizing that they are carnal. How often in the Church of Christ we preach deep spiritual truths to people who are carnal. Then these people say, what a beautiful sermon, even though it does them very little practical good. Was the sermon not true? Was the truth of the Bible not in it? Yes. But we preached truth to a carnal people. As long as a Christian is carnal, do not give him spiritual truth. You must first bring them to the point where they realize that they are carnal. The carnal state is incapable of receiving spiritual truth. Paul did not want the Corinthians to rest in this carnal state, no. He wanted them to pass from carnal to spiritual. That is what we need to. And the question arises, how are we to get from the one to the other? And so next time we gather, we'll take a closer look at from the carnal to the spiritual. So I'm going to have to go back and study through all these things and find out where Jim had his next message from. Then the next time I get here, I'll try to bring that to you. That's where we're at right now, so let us pray. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the things that you give us. Lord, we want to be true to you. We want to be spiritual. And I pray that you will show us where we come short and help us to repent of that and to become more a spiritual-minded person. Thank you for the things that you give us, Lord. And we pray that and ask your help that you'll help us grow from infancy as a baby into a spiritual man or woman.